So, hi guys, and welcome to
that. Is he trying to say that I've done that?
Maybe a bit.
the secrets of Anton Deck exposed.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the F1 Alternative at Verge Magazine. And I am here with, again, the Motley Crew, same old guys, Sam and Matt. How are you guys?
Yeah, so good.
How are you?
And we are lucky enough to be joined by Tomo F1, YouTube's own big boy at the moment. I'll tell you what, like, we are big fans of yours. So how are you? How are you coping?
Good, lads. Thanks for having me. It's nice to, you know, get away from the facts. Well, I mean, now's like the perfect time to be on YouTube, right? In terms of creating, because, you know, I got furloughed from my work earlier this week. So all of a sudden, it's...
I never know what to say when people say that, you know, like...
No, no one does. But I'm just like, actually, like, it's cool, man. Like, it's fine. Like, I can deal with it. I had a really expensive commute and all that. So it just opens up, like... I'd go into work, I'd leave at like 7:30, get home at like 7:30. So,
yeah.
And I'd have just my evenings to actually put towards the channel. But obviously now there's kind of, I've got a strike with the iron top. And obviously there's a lot of people at home wanting content to watch. So I'm doing my best to deliver. So
I think anyone that has like a video set up, a podcast set up, webcam at home, is just thinking, oh, wow, I can actually do something at home without having to take my clothes off. Now, people, I've got this set up.
There's no excuses anymore. People can't be like, I don't have time. I can't. Oh, I ain't got time to do this now.
Exactly. Well, this is a great thing. You know, it's like, I think everyone you can see in any industry are now finding ways to be completely creative. You know, I saw Dua Lipa the other day doing a whole performance with James Corden on this show. Amazing. I'm not going to do any music here, but at least we've got the boys, we've got the gang.
I thought that was a plan. We were supposed to do
that. No way. Wasn't that
Listen,
in the,
we don't,
like, a plan. Like a Zoom? I'm sick of that, by the way. Here. People need to stop that stuff. I'm sick of that.
It's the kind of place that when you turn up to prison on day one, you sit on the wrong table at the canteen, you're stuck. This is the kind of quality you get here.
It's what the people want.
This is it. We're giving the people what they want. So Tommy, like, you know, obviously, for those who don't know, obviously, Tomo's another F1 nut, like, just like ourselves. He runs a YouTube channel on YouTube. Basically, just like ourselves, talk and love talking about F1 all day and all night. So tell us a little bit, for those who don't know you, about your channel.
Cool. So my channel's Tomo F1, not F1 Tomo, like Andre thought it was earlier.
Look at this explosion.
Come on, man. You can't. See this. It's my brand.
See, as soon as he gets big enough, do you see what happens to him?
The copyright.
That's why he's just worried about getting sued, that's all.
So, I started the channel last August in the off-season because I was like, I've been creating content on YouTube for a while now, mainly football stuff back in the day. But yeah, I was like, I really want to give a go at this because I've always been into motorsports generally, and F1 particularly in the last kind of few years has been like supercharged for me in terms of like front and centre. I'm an ever struggling West Ham fan, so things ain't
going well to talk about there.
I can't do it to myself anymore. So I needed to kind of move away from that. And yeah, I just started kind of creating content around, just off-season stuff. So trying to cover topics, again, looking at like things like evergreen kind of content that can work. It blew up at Christmas, basically. I went from like 100 to 10,000 subscribers in a month, which is just stupid. Like the YouTube algorithm sorted me out, to be fair. It was kind of a combination of like, I'm confident, like the quality of my stuff's good. And it was just a matter of time before, you know, things clicked. And yeah, we're here today. I hit like 25,000 like yesterday.
Wow.
And things are going, yeah, it's like going really well. So yeah, man, and it's cool. My first ever YouTube video was in 2015. So it's not like I've been just, yes, this channel has blown up very quickly, but it's not something I haven't been investing thousands of hours in over many a year. So it's good to finally get a little bit of kind of recognition for the hard work, because it is tough.
Was there anything you, as a watcher of YouTube content, creators, or even podcast shows that you watch and thought, oh, that you could take good inspiration from that?
So I think the Football Daily stuff, again, football's kind of my background in terms of most of my video stuff. I think Football Daily, I mean, they got bought out by Sky Sports, I think, like last year. And their content,
my good friend Adam Smith, living life on that channel. He's smashing it.
They're doing bits, and obviously they've started like VYB and various other kind of projects around that. But yeah, in terms of like platforms that work, because football, part of the reason I moved away from football as well is because that is such a saturated part. And obviously there's a big appeal for it. But I think F1 hasn't really had that same level of content. You know, most of the F1 YouTubers out there are, it's like news. It's just kind of reciting what's going on. And it's like, I kind of taking that work that works on football, because F1 are trying to appeal to a younger audience as well, and applying that same kind of thought process to the F1 space, I suppose.
I find that so relatable, the football stuff. I think, you know, Dre and Sam will know from my background being in football that as much as you want to talk about football, and it's easy to talk about, it's easy to be passionate about it, but there is a lot of people. There's a lot of people. And I feel like, you know, sports like F1 and sports that are very, you know, digitally embracive need more people. And, you know, I think you are a really good example of where, you know, there's space and there's still space for people to show their things, show their passion and be enthusiastic about the sport.
Mm-hmm. Because you've got to remember as well, like Liberty Media bought F1 in, was that 2017? And before then, like Bernie Eccleston wouldn't, like the drivers couldn't post on social. Like it's literally been 3 years since the social era of F1 has begun, pretty much, right? And this is a sport that's existed since like the 40s, 50s. And there's such an opportunity for like people to, and again, they want to appeal to a younger audience, a more kind of socially engaged audience. So there's definitely an opportunity. Like I think my success has been amazing, but I think there's still plenty of room for way more content. And again, the bigger channels, your Autosports, you know, the F1 themselves, their social stuff is, I think, really good as well. Like their YouTube channel and their content that they create is really good and engaging, and they're moving in the right direction. And that's a matter of time before like individuals, because again, anyone can make a YouTube video with, stick an iPhone on a bloody ironing board like True Geordie did, and you're good to go. You know, literally that's all it takes.
It's true. I mean, that's how we, this is how this was pretty much birthed. We all met at Silverstone last year. We kind of episode one, we were filming out of a shard, and then boom, lockdown. So we've got scale back production, saving on the money. And here we are, thanks to Zoom. You know, we're living like the government.
Hashtag we could be on the street, like on the street soon, like a Poet and Vooj as well. Just sitting up anywhere, random places. I absolutely love that.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Zoom for letting us even make this.
the whole world at the moment, I'll tell you. So what is it? What would you say is obviously, you know, for the full interview, people read our lovely interview at vergemagazine.co.uk. Nice plug there. What would you say is the difference between, you know, F1 fans and football fans? Because you know the difference, you know, because obviously you make content for both.
Yeah, I mean, I think like it's difficult because football's such like a culture. Like, say, I'm born and bred West Ham. Like, my family from the East End. I was kind of born in the East End of London. Like, it's such a kind of visceral thing. And obviously, football transcends, you know, old and young. It doesn't really, it's a very ultimately. And football fans get a lot of stick, but it is a very inclusive sport in terms of like anyone and everyone can be a football fan. And F1 historically has been a very much like, it's like old white guys who love it. And they haven't really tapped into the younger, but in terms of the passion, like, man, you see, like, you watch kind of the Dutch fans at Austria, and obviously like Zandvoort, when that eventually happens, there's going to be a madness. Like, the Italian fans at Monza, like there's a real hunger and a real appetite for it. And I think that just hasn't been, again, because you got to remember as well, football is so much more accessible as a sport, not only to participate in, but to watch. Yeah, if you want to watch F1 and you're in the UK, you've got to go to Silverstone. You know, there's no, like, tickets are minimum, what, you know, for a proper, like, just one day, you're paying at least 150, maybe 200 quid. Whereas football, you can just, you know, there's ways of accessing that sport at lower levels, potentially. Like, but in terms of the passion and the hunger and the desire, I don't think there's too much different, really. It's just because F1 hasn't been exploited. It doesn't have that same, like, football's the biggest sport in the world. But obviously, F1's a global entity as well, which it obviously puts it above all the other motorsports. Because, you know, if you're a kid and you want to watch motorsport, you're going to watch F1. Like, that's just what you're going to gravitate towards, because that's the biggest, in the same way that...
So, well, and now that there's younger drivers as well, is something for people to gravitate towards. So I think before, you know, before, I would say, Hamilton, there wasn't anyone that would make people like me, who are more predominantly like a football fan. Shout out Liverpool. Sorry, I'm going to do that every time. Titles coming.
You're not getting that league, man.
Your chairman trying to sabotage.
Oh, Brady went in, didn't she?
She rolled.
I take no responsibility for that.
Karen just doesn't want that relegation heat. She's like, exactly. See what Sunderland's done.
Exactly. Let's just pause where we are.
We're definitely getting a Netflix documentary if we get relegated.
I'd watch it. I'd definitely watch it. As long as coronavirus hangs around, then you're gonna be safe. But
go on.
So tell me, like, when lockdown kind of came, you know, came into play, and coronavirus is keeping everyone at home, did you find yourself changing, like, the approach to how you were thinking about creating content going forward, or was it very much more the same?
So my content, again, was kind of built on, again, I started the off season, so I was looking at kind of particular sponsors like Rocket, who, like, are an interesting one. No one really knew who they were, so I thought, a company profile. The video that actually kind of launched my channel was a Rich Energy Red Bull. I did, like, a comparison because I managed to get hold of Rich Energy. If you know about, you'll know that there was they sponsored the Haas last season. Then it basically, they're not kind of a real company, but they think they are.
Live season two, let's be honest.
Exactly. Yeah. What again, in itself, Drive to Survive, I think, is a big part of why, like, that's brought so many young fans in as well. But and in terms of, so there was that, I kind of split my content into different, like, pillars. You've got the stuff that is going to engage the current audience that I've obviously managed to build. So I did, like, a Drive to Survive wash along. No random is going to be interested in that. Only people who actually watch my stuff. But then I wanted to do a podcast, a post-race kind of talk through, and there's a couple that exist out there. But again, just kind of putting my spin on it. And the original plan was to do post-race, but then obviously there's no races. So then I started to reach out to individuals and get some guests on. So that's kind of, in terms of change, that's the unreal thing. Otherwise, it's, again, I started my channel in the off-season. It's still technically off-season. So that's not really changed. It's just kind of stepping up now that I've got more time, just stepping up the how regular. So I'm probably going to try, like, 3 uploads a week. I was doing 2.
On that one, actually, Tomo, one of your most successful videos you've done so far is the F1 2020 predictions, and then you followed it up with the 2021 predictions. Mm-hmm. So that came out in, I think it was January, end of January, that 2021 one came out.
Yep.
After that, how has lockdown changed your prediction now? Are you looking at things differently? Because we're now looking at basically almost half the season. So I know you're looking at someone like Bottas going to Renault, which is a big call. I'm not going to lie. Big call. But, like, do you think that's now going to change because the season's been cut short?
I mean, I think regardless of lockdown, most of the drivers' contracts are still going to come to an end at the end of this season. So, like, the Mercedes engine in the McLaren is still going to happen. A lot of people thought that might have been pushed back because of the engine wrecks and that. But, I mean, so I guess, yeah, that the chances of things not changing as much are probably higher because it's harder to jump through all the hoops that it takes to kind of... I mean, I did an April Fool's video that I proclaimed that Stroll would join Mercedes. And I got a lot of people as well, man.
Because Toto and Stroll are close.
They are close. I literally came up with the... I was like, I'm going to do April Fool's video. I came up with that idea in January. Like, after those videos went off, I was like, oh, that'd be sick, man. I'm going to say Stroll. Because that's going to trigger so many people. But yeah, no. So in terms of, like, how it will affect things changing up. And again, how much do you read into testing? I still think Red Bull are going to be right up there with Mercedes. And I think Verstappen, it's going to be Verstappen or Hamilton. I think Max could get it. I'd really do. Like, I think it's kind of touch and go between them two. But again, like, testing has been so unreliable historically in terms of predicting how well teams actually do. So yeah, I mean, I'm sticking to my guns, man. I ain't changing my predictions.
Got it. Are you looking forward to, like, there being any form of shake up? For example, like, you know, obviously when Aston Martin in the future start getting going, you know, and just the new teams, new drivers, you know, a nice change around. I'm bringing, I think, a lot of the whole way that we think of in football with transfers, and everyone's always obsessed with transfers. So I think the nearest thing to that is obviously driver change up. So what do you think about, like, you know, are you going to be more excited, or do you think it would be better for the sport if there was, like, a new leader, you know, and more people winning the races rather than Lewis, mate, all the time?
More the merrier. Like, a monopoly is not good for the sport at all. It's like, I kind of look at it the same way, like Ligue 1 in France, where PSG just smash it every year and no one's interested. Like, you need that competitiveness amongst kind of the teams coming up. You want, like, I don't really support a team, but if I had to, I'd probably say McLaren, because they've got this kind of underdog status now, working their way back up. I really like Lando and Carlos in terms of, like, personability. Yeah. They seem like really kind of sound blokes, and that's a lot. What, like, I love good racing, of course, but there's so much more behind it. And obviously what social can do and capture is all of what goes on behind the scenes, because yes, the cars, you know, smash around a track for an hour and a half, but there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes. And we've never, like, again, before Liberty took charge, we never really saw any of that. And now all of that is open, and it's such a unique sport. You know, the entry, again, the barrier to entry is so high, but also there's all this, you know, it's a proper team sport. It's seen as such an individual sport because the drivers are held up in such, like, Lewis in such esteem. But he wouldn't have won 6 drivers' titles if it wasn't for that Mercedes. And again, when he was at McLaren at the time, if that wasn't, you know, there's so much more to it than that. And I think there's a lot more that, you know, you see pit crews, that's pretty much the one chance that you actually kind of, that can make and break, and has many a time made.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when Red Bull did the quick release and jumped, was it in Monaco, I think, and they jumped, who was it? I can't remember. I think it was one of the Ferraris. I can't remember exactly. Well, it might have been
Was it?
I can't remember.
I think they might.
They did a really quick pit stop and they jumped the car. You know, like, that's an example, but there's so much more than that as well.
In China for Mercedes, where they perfectly timed Bottas and Hamilton within, like, a second of each other. Like, that, I completely agree. The strategy for F1, to me, is way more than just the racing. When people that have never watched F1 before, I understand it when they say, I don't get it, because it's just cars going around in a circle. I get that view of it, because if you've never seen it before, you don't understand how the strategy can change a race. Like, if you look at, I think it was Singapore last year, where Seb got out ahead of Leclerc, and there was a lot of team issues, but they got him ahead, and that was a complete race change. And that doesn't happen unless it's strategy. So unless you understand that basis of it, I think it is kind of hard to follow F1 as a sport itself. Because with football, you just watch the game and it's about the playing as a team. You know, whereas when there is monopoly, like from someone like Mercedes, who are owning pretty much every race, there has to be these underhand cuts and these overcuts in pit lane strategy to get ahead. And I think, yeah, so following F1 is quite difficult when you don't understand that. But actually, a lot of your content is the background of F1. So I saw your Nicholas Latifi video, and I think, you know, your sponsorship video. That kind of content is very different to content that's been done before from other F1 channels, whether it's podcasts or news channels. Do you see that as being one of the important factors for getting a younger generation into F1 to help them understand it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, there's some quality channels out there that, in terms of, like, delivering kind of interesting a take on the news. So, you know, I know you mentioned, like, the Aston Martin takeover. I remember when that launched, there was about, like, pretty much every F1 channel I subscribe to, I'd say about 60% of them launched the same video within, like, an hour of each other reciting the same thing. And obviously there's a place for that, but again, that's where that content's been. So yeah, like you say, in terms of creating something that's a bit different and highlighting and heroing you know, specific parts of the sport. And again, the same way that you can apply that same thing to football, in terms of looking at, I don't know, you look at a specific generation of team, like from a certain era, for example, and create a video on that, or a certain like kit sponsor, maybe, who people see but don't really know much about, because there's that. And again, I think a lot of it's just like, oh, I didn't really know who, like the story behind Nicholas Latifi. Like, I'd heard a lot about him and how, you know, he'd been in F2 for a long time and he had rich parents and whatever.
Another one, another driver has, another two one. Of them now.
Exactly. But, and I was just like, okay, let's dig into this a bit more and then just present it in kind of my way, where it's, you know, it's still relaying facts to the best of my knowledge, but not being like super, like actually putting me in it and just chatting as if, you know, it's just a chat with your mate.
How conscious are you, Tommy, of like finding that balance between being kind of newsworthy, not trying to come across as too much of an expert? How do you find that perfect balance?
I don't think I have. Like, I think it's literally not been something I've considered at all. Like, I will literally, you know, when like certain people, like there's people I've spoken to, and
happens a lot in football. You see in football content, you kind of get those kind of sofa experts, and you think,
yeah. And like they'll be sitting like, we're having a chat now. We're just having a chat, right? And then they'll get their podcast over there. So, hi guys, and welcome to, like, you know, like that.
Is you trying to say that I've done that?
Maybe a bit.
the secrets of Anton Deck exposed.
But you know what I mean? Like, they'll put on a facade, which is fine. Like, yeah. That's completely, it's not against that at all. It's just that I think my approach and the way I want to make videos and the way I've always made videos is just talking in the way that I talk, you know, and just speaking as I want to speak, because I know that a lot of the content that I watch around football and have tried to seek out and find around F1 is just that. Because, you know, if I want to go and get educated on a video, and I do watch, I watch like Autosport, I've got some really interesting like deep dives into the tech and the regulations, and the people there are obviously clearly very like clued up on that kind of stuff. And if I'm interested, I'll look for that. But also, I don't always want to. I also like, you know, have you heard of a YouTuber called Leon Lush? Is this American guy?
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious. I love him. And it's just like, it's so just chilled and just chatted, and it's fucking like, it's the most sarcastic American you'll ever meet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just finding that, I guess, space within. And again, it was just, I didn't feel there was anything out there that was doing that. I'm sure there's obviously examples, but like, and I'm sure there's people out there who, you know, have been doing that for a while and just haven't got fortunate with the algorithm like I did. But
that's the most important thing, right? Because I think you look at, I think now everyone's getting so many better opportunities, whether it's in sport. You could look at something on a higher end of the scale like a Joe Rogan podcast. As long as you keep conversational and real, you're going to have your guests at complete ease. Like, that's something I always found when I was like speaking to athletes and interviewing different people, whether it would be like, I don't know, let's say like an Anthony Joshua or like a Lewis Hamilton. You just have to walk in with like the most realist version of yourself first, because then you, it's really, I see it happen quite a lot in football where, you know, when I was making my way up for the industry, being that guy, the fly in the wall, so to say, you'd see people come in with that kind of like, hey, and put on that facade. And I think that's what seems to be really good so far. And I think that's a credit to even channels like WTF F1, where they understand their voice and have applied themselves so well that makes them relevant to this industry.
Well, yeah, because like that's a literally where I saw in my podcast, I spoke to Tommy, the founder, and Jess, who was used to be head of, and literally they both talked about when they got their first interview gig was with Lewis and Valtteri, and the question that they asked Lewis was, who would win out of your two dogs in a race? So you've got everyone else in there, like, and immediately that kind of sets a tone that relaxes the driver. Like, we know that drivers don't like media, like generally speaking, it's not a positive experience for them. That's why Lewis always rides his electric scooter around, because they can't get him. literally, that's why he does it. Yeah, and it's like,
he went past us when he was at the race.
That's it. And that's why he does it, because he doesn't want to speak to the conventional, traditional like media who, you know, aren't, you know what I mean? Like,
sorry, I've got a little guest here.
It's all right.
Decided to ruin the whole show.
Yeah, ruined it. Is that good? But it's you know, that's what they said about kind of with Daniel Ricciardo, and Jess was telling me about kind of how, you know, they'd done their interviews and then later in the evening Daniel just came over and sat with them, and they were like, what? And they were like, oh well, I can tell you, like, cool guys aren't this kind of, you know, conventional old media as such.
Yeah, I think, like, as well, Matt's told you his background. My background's in the other side of media, so I'm the PR guy that tells everyone not to ask those particular questions.
Don't ask Lewis about being a vegan.
Honestly, from the athlete side, the athlete's perspective, it is so much easier when media are just human beings. That is the part of it, and it's simple. So channels like WTF1, channels like, you know, what we try to do when we're talking about F1 is just quite make it a human topic. There is news channels out there that cover this to a granular detail. You don't need to do that in a general interview. People want to watch the sport. They want to watch the drivers, right? They want to watch the drivers go around a track and do what they do on a Sunday. They want to watch the strategy, but then they also want to know who these drivers are. They want to have a conversation. They want to see some personality, which people like Danny Rick, I mean, Lando Norris, we've said it. Lando is old in the off-season recently with some social media stuff.
Yeah, he's off-season champ, definitely, for sure.
But the important thing
holding the sport together.
He looks better. I think that trim actually better. Suits him. It suits
looks
him.
Meaner.
He looks like he'll knock the crap out of me. I'm scared of that guy now.
He looks like that girl from Stranger Things.
Totally, he's totally 11.
That's what you put down on his Instagram.
He totally is.
So I mean, what I wanted to do is I wanted to definitely get into some of this shocking news that we had our briefing this morning, and I literally almost choked on my coffee when I'm late on this one. Mr. Mac, Mr. Bernie, still I don't know how to PC say it. Still slinging.
You are not the father.
It's unbelievable. I just say that's the one thing. Like, if you go around the paddocks and there's a lot of beautiful people, and I'm saying man and woman. Fair, you know what? Cool, Bernie. Good choice. Like, what a choice. That's like, you know, wow.
So I'm still shocked at so he's so just for people who don't know, so Bernie Eccleston is 89 years old, and he's having another child now.
Only his fourth child.
But how many children have you got? Four.
It's gonna be his fourth kid, and he's 89. Yeah.
Yes.
But can you imagine, at the day of his birth, this child's birth, his or her oldest brother is going to be at least 66 years old.
So weird.
Where's your brother? Yeah, he's in a care home. He's so chilling. He's on drip. It's so mad. Weird.
Isn't that the average age for a man, like 83 or something like that?
He's already outlived, basically. He's on borrowed time.
They're going to have to call the kid like Jap, short for Jackpot, because he is going to be living a life, man.
Oh, mate, yeah.
I was shocked. I thought they were playing a prank on me.
I thought it was a late April Fools.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this
some
can't
west
be true.
Coast of America, like behind on time. Like
this is something else. Like, he's spending a lot of his off time clearly doing other things now. He's really enjoying retirement.
Oh, it was so scary. Like, one of the quotes was, and it was so ambiguous, but I feel like he is hinting. He's like, yeah, you know, after F1, I've had a lot of practice. I'm like, practicing and parenting? All the other stuff, and I'm scarred. I don't want to imagine. I don't want to imagine it. I don't want to imagine what's been happening.
Not pleasant for anyone other.
It's just so, and so we've got news, other news as well coming up now as well from the world of the W Series.
Yeah, like a big shout out on the topic of childbirth, but Cher Holbrook from the W Series breast has given birth. So she won't. Next year in the W Series, well, not confirmed yet, but I mean, you know, she's probably gonna have some time chilling at home. But yeah, big congrats to her husband and her. Yeah, I mean, there was a really cute picture of her on her Instagram with her in a W Series overalls cradling her pregnancy baby.
Respect.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Get that branded in tray away.
I wish I had time to make her a congratulations picture of Comic Sans, but I didn't. I feel bad. I feel like I'm really letting down the team. That's Comic Sans with three.
I like that you took the time to do the caps on every other letter.
As well. Graphic design touch. Is overrated in FY20. push the boat out.
See, Tom, you can learn a few things from that.
Graphic designers.
I'll apply that to my
80s.
Thumbnails.
Yeah, just change it up, switch up a bit, just see what people say. You know, exactly. someone's gonna put in comments like something in real capitals there.
Yeah. Are you okay, Tomo? Is
everything all right?
Are you held hostage?
So let's get into this coronavirus pay cuts with McLaren and so forth. So what's your guys' view on that? I think it's a responsible thing that they're doing, and then obviously being quite open about how to keep the business going, and then obviously to save people their jobs long term.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, for Carlos and Lando, I think it's a as Bob was saying earlier, like Lando is massively ingrained in that team. I mean, so is Carlos. To be fair, you saw him on the podium with his teammates. It's a big deal, and I personally don't feel like it was pushed on them. I feel like there's other drivers on the grid that you would feel like that decision has been pushed on them. And from a PR perspective, which I would know, you'd say take a pay cut to make this look good. But I feel like Carlos and Lando are the kind of people that probably would have walked into a meeting room and said, look, the first thing you've got to do is dock some pay a little bit. I mean, they probably got a little bit more than what they wanted to give up, but fair enough. But there's a whole team at the technology center that are trying to survive. Had to furlough staff, but that's the long goal. They're trying to save the team. We know that McLaren, as part of your video, Tom, actually, on sponsorship, they're not the lowest on the grid in terms of sponsorship, but they're also not Ferrari and they're not Mercedes. So, every team's going to have to go through budget cuts as much as possible. But yeah, I think it's a really good thing for Lando and Carlos to do from a audience perspective as well as a team perspective, because as fans, you want to see drivers being part of a team, and taking a pay cut to support the rest of the team is exactly what they should have done, to be fair.
And then now we have more things to be able to look forward to this weekend. Again, F1 is actually saving all sports fans, because we're going to have some competitive sports with the virtual Grand Prix Australia. Are you guys ready for that? And obviously there's more entries, celebrity entries. Entering this time, big names.
Johnny Herbert's back. That's the good stuff.
There were some weird ones, weren't there? Like weird celebrity, like Liam Payne got the
big up,
made it, which weird one. I don't know where that came from.
He didn't really make it. He made the grid. He didn't make the checkered flag.
True.
So, am I right on the list that we've got is new entries are obviously same as before, I'm assuming. But you've got Charles Leclerc.
Charles is in. Come on.
You've got Alex Albon, George Russell, Lando again, obviously, and Nicholas Latifi is going to be involved.
We've got Giovinazzi as well, who I think was
Gio and Johnny Connection. That is the prime time billing. I'm so psyched for that.
Who's your money on?
I'm going Johnny Herbert again. Come on.
as of 2 hours ago, Jenson Button.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Yeah,
is Max not doing it?
I don't think he's done it as yet.
He said that focusing on iRacing.
Okay.
I think it was either just before or just after the Bahrain GP, he said that he's not going to do it. He's going to focus on iRacing. I feel like that's a bit of a seed, so it makes it.
He's doing what? So he's... He's not going
to... It's the iRacing League, isn't it? That he competes in.
Yeah, there's a few at the minute. They've got the one from the race, haven't they? And then the official F1 one, which is the F1 game.
Oh, but yeah, he's in... he's focused on iRacing, but he said he wasn't there because that's his...
Tom, have you managed to watch much of it? The e-racing?
I watched the first weekend. So they had the Veloci eSports one. And they had the race one that weekend. I watched that. I haven't seen the one since, to be fair.
It's too much. I feel like it's an oversaturation. Like all of a sudden, we've just got races left, right, and centre. Yeah. I don't even know which ones to tune into now.
I think esports is still in such a kind of formative early stage still.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, we know that like Max, we know that Max is the best sim racer of the actual professional drivers.
Yeah.
But still, compared to the guys, you're like Daniel Bresnay's, you know, all the top esports lot are still on a kind of different level to them. So I think it was kind of that first, it was a bit weird because they had kind of a bit of a golfing quality. Like there's, there's no way, even though Johnny Herbert is an ex Formula One race winner, there's no way he's going to be, but with like the professional esports guys who do this week in, week out, because there is still a difference between the, so I think they were kind of working those kinks out. But I think I'm going to give it a look this week because again, it's going to, this thing, this happens so quickly. I mean, when I was talking to Jess, you know, where she works now, they helped kind of arrange it all. Like Motorsport Network kind of were involved.
Great bunch of guys.
And yeah, like that, the turnover period was so quick. With that, and obviously F1 Esports has been doing well, and that's kind of that's moving in a positive direction, but there's still a lot to go
for. I think it's good for the sport, though. I mean, don't get me wrong, having these big names on the grid. I mean, Ben Stokes, the cricketer, has been announced the partner Alex Albon, and as you say,
that's a team.
It's a good team. I feel like esports is good for the sport in general, or this is in general, because you're going to be getting F1 fans that are going to tune in to watch Liam Payne. And, you know, they may not have tuned in. You're going to get Liam Payne fans and go, what is this racing thing that he's doing? They're going to watch it. And, you know, out of the massive, like, mass of his fans that watch it, you might get three or four that actually go and might watch the next weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
So, well, I think it goes on to the sorry to cut you. It just goes into the whole new approach, which is, you know, a lot more inclusive. And, you know, has caught up with the rest of the world on and drawing new fans in from all different, you know, backgrounds. And I think that, you know, the sport obviously needs new fans. So definitely through gaming. So because how it kind of used to come across is like there was a separate, you know, entities between like gaming fans who want to actually watch a real F1 and that actually, you know, F1 fans who would never watch anything to do with esports and gaming. So now if you have these people like crossing paths, and that's what F1 have been doing last season. We were lucky enough to be able to get to meet, you know, all of the esports drivers from all the different teams, and then obviously the we're lucky enough to be able to get to meet the F1 driver as well. Just a quick question. So, I saw you mention on the on your podcast one time that you've never met F1 driver.
No, I'm from the same part of. So I think Johnny Herbert's from Romford as well. That's where I'm from. Mm-hmm. So, but I've never actually met an F1 driver. My dad always used to go on about, oh, Johnny Herbert used to go to school around there. But no, I've never met a current. I've been to races, but I've never actually in the flesh.
Who would be on a hit list like number one?
Alex Albon.
Like it.
Mate, he's my boy. Well, he's Colchester, isn't he? So he's not that far from me. And yeah, man, he's just like so. He like personifies. I like Lando and I like Danny Rick. Danny Rick and Alex though, they're my, because they're just so real. And they're just I just think they'd be like a great crack to have a laugh with.
I'll tell you what, like for me, for real, the guys know this one. My first F1 interaction after doing all kinds of like footballers. During his own after, I had the Kimi experience. Went straight.
Oh, nice.
Headphones, Kimi Raikkonen, and I was like, "Is this what they're like?" I was like, "These guys are weird, man."
Kimi's one of a kind, man. He's one of a kind.
No, he's one of a kind.
It's weird with Kimi because Kimi's like, he's a proper partier. Like he loves a sesh, but he's such a like. I think he's brilliant.
He would drink you to death silently. Like if you went to a pub with him, he'd just look you in the eye, pint after pint, just dead eyeing you like.
But I feel like Kimmy's the kind of person that walks into an F1 grid going, "These aren't my people, so I'm just going to race, and then I'm going to go back to my people, and then we're going to party."
He's like a rapper in a nightclub. That's what he said.
He said that on Drive to Survive, didn't he? Right at the end. He was like, "I'm just doing this because it's a hobby." Like.
I feel like if you're like, you know, for anyone that doesn't really follow F1, like you literally got everything you need to know from Kimi. As much as I love that guy, you like, that's it. The box is ticked. Like that's Kimi Raikkonen.
I just don't get it. I don't see what you guys, honestly, he's a nice guy, but I just.
It's funny, man.
When this coronavirus takes the world into a really dark place, Kimi is the man out of all that grid that you're going to want next to you. He's going to know. He's going to take you to ice lakes. You're going to get fish. He'll make beer out of stuff in trees.
He's going to be the survivor.
Your skin will be decent afterwards.
Write a book of pure haikus. Like, can you write a book of haiku poems? Like, what? Why? Just because you can. Like, no one can do that kind of stuff other than Kimmy. And that's like, literally, that's it.
It's just refreshing because he doesn't give a shit. Like, no amount of media trading ever worked on him. Like, you know, with Brundle, when he comes up to him and he's like, where were you for the procession, Kimmy? And he's like, I was having shit. Like, he just says what he's
real. It's real life,
live TV. You don't give a fuck. And I think, again, that in itself is refreshing because there's the media trained nonsense.
Playing Kimi Räikkönen, I'd give up after a minute. I'd literally be like, do you want to... No, okay, cool. Yeah, done.
Sweet. Just move on quick. He'll just look at you.
Would it be anyone somewhere that if you were given the opportunity to interview someone across a season, you'd be like, oh, I need to do some homework. Is there anyone you'd think, oh, that's a tricky interview?
Yeah, because I think like we're saying about Kimi, I think if you respect who he is and approach the interview knowing it's Kimi Räikkönen, you can kind of maneuver around of it. I guess who would be the least kind of natural for me to vibe with on the current grid? I don't know. I would maybe because Seb's. I think Seb's hilarious. Like, I think Seb's
really
fun.
Yeah, great
I
guess
maybe just I think Stroll because he doesn't seem to be himself. I think he seems to be like.
It's because you know what? He's like that guy. He's always watched by his parents. He's on the best behavior.
This is nothing to do with the money. It's just like he seems to be strangled by this media training, and it's not him. I want to see him. I don't know. I do my best to get him out. Like
I want to hear his. You know when he goes on the team radio, like when Seb crashed into him at Monza, screaming down the radio. That is the Lance Stroll I want to see.
Exactly, and we don't see that.
Just a question. I don't hear enough swearing over the team radios. Because if I'm driving like nearly 200 miles an hour and someone just swerves in front of me, please believe that you're going to hear that. So I'm baffled why none of them ever say like,
I think that's the powers of good producing and good TV production. They get, you know, a little pre-feed. Yeah, it's kind of like they do it. It's like how they work on replays. They will run the radio just like you would watch replays in a football match. Lucky for the kids, I'm like, hey, that motherfucking cornerback. Like, mate, you're going to scare kids. You need a PG filter. If you got you're going to have Grosjean racing and with Magnussen, you've got to watch out because that's
Them two. We're looking forward to that.
If you're like Lewis and you get 40 million a year, I hope you can take that kind of money and restrain yourself.
Yeah, man.
We're hearing some news about there being a potential more than one race at Silverstone to be able to catch up with some of the missed races that we've had before. So like I'm hearing that there may be a race on the Saturday and then the Sunday as well. If that is so, and if I have got this right, what do you guys think?
I mean, it's a sensible idea, to be fair, because most of the teams are based within like 20 miles. So teams can go home at night. And I think if we need to get 15 races on a calendar, then there's nothing wrong with doing a race at Silverstone in reverse. You know, at the end of the day, it's the home of F1. It's got multiple layouts. From what I read earlier, they don't have a license. But I don't think that's going to be a real issue if they come to that crunch point. The FIA will probably grant them a license pretty quickly. But I guess the other question is whether we're going to have a race by July. It's another thing. Because I saw there was a piece from The Sun, actually. It's a really, really good it's a comment piece from Ben Hunt. But he talked about how France is a really good option because there's a private airport nearby. They can fly into it. Like, most teams can almost quarantine themselves with a private jet, which would be lovely. There's Paul Ricard is a testing circuit, so they've got so many different. Like, I mean, even on a race weekend, you see it when the flies overhead. You're like, which road are they taking? I have no idea. But like, they've got so many different layouts that actually they could within a week they could probably have about 7 Grand Prix layouts. Cause it's that quick.
That's true.
But, you know what I mean, it's that easy to turn around that actually, if Canada goes ahead, or if Canada potentially becomes the latest victim, then France could be a pretty good shout to start because you could do a two-race weekend. I feel Silverstone's a great place because you get so many more fans there. Because, I mean, a big contingent of F1 fans are UK-based, so, or European-based, pretty close. Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of new American fans, but to be fair, the UK's okay to travel to, certainly in Europe, so it could be
Formula One, we're more than happy for you to be able to fly us over by a private jet. We'll make that sacrifice, you know, to see the, you know, as long as there's a...
Everyone just wants to see some racing, isn't it? Like, we've been waiting so long now, and it's not the season, it's not like football where the season started and then it's kind of cut off a bit early and then it might, like, it was off season. Everyone was super gassed for the start of it. We got to Australia and then no. And it's like the way, I think, as much as, you know, and they can move events around, the logistics of F1 is just, there's a great video actually. It's called, it's a channel called Wendover Productions on YouTube. And this guy talks about the logistics of, and what actually goes into it, because people complain about like the power units in Formula One cars, like the emissions and that, but that's nothing compared to like shipping this whole circus around the world. And so obviously given with what's going on, like as you say about France, that could be a great option for having multiple races there. Obviously maybe cut like Hockenheim and Zandvoort and Vietnam, because they're, give them a bit more time, because I think they wanted a bit more time anyway. Move a few races around. I think they can make it work. It just, again, just depends on when the world returns back to normal, doesn't it?
Using your expert knowledge in pandemics and crisis, Tomo, how long, for the people that want to know, how long do you think we're going to
Well, fortunately, you lads got me on, because I do actually have the answer. So...
It's a spoiler.
Really?
You know what? No. I'm saying.
Everyone collectively lean forward there.
What do you know, sir?
I know how to captivate an audience. I think tail end of. We know that F1's hemorrhaging money at the minute, with the races not going on, and their stock prices. It's a bit concerning, to be honest, how bad their stock price has been hit by all this. Obviously, they're not the only business that everyone has, but. With, you know, Liberty taking a massive loan out, which, you know, there's talk that could be, you know, the people who gave Liberty the loan could take it over, which is mad. Again, that's all hearsay. We don't know. But in terms of, they're going to want to get racing ASAP. And even if that is behind closed doors without the fans, because to be fair, I don't think from a viewing, right, if you watch a football match on TV, and there's no fans.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
In F1, I don't think it's as much of a necessity for the, and again, 99% of people who are consuming it aren't there, are watching on TV. So I think they could way more quickly than football would. I think they'd be prepared to race behind closed doors. I think maybe July.
You got Ultimate Dry Run this weekend. You got WrestleMania happened this weekend without an audience. That sounds very strange and wrong.
There's no audience in WrestleMania. That's just that is very strange. Oh, that's why they're giving it free, aren't they? So
yeah, crazy. So exactly, F1 is probably the best place for, you know, you got the commentary, you got the sounds. What else do you need?
Yeah, you can't hear the fans really. Like obviously, actually being at a race on a race weekend, is the atmosphere is mad. It's like really mad. But yeah, I just, again, for people viewing on TV, I don't think it's really essential.
You can see in the Orange Army, but that's about it.
Obviously Monza isn't going to be the same either. Like there's certain tracks where, yeah, obviously like it would be great. But again, it's not like, I think everyone would understand and we just want to see racing. And
I think people's, their wants and just has actually gone down and down and down to where, you know, at the start people are like, you can't have it without the fans, it's not going to be the same. And then now we got to the point, you know, 2 weeks later, we're like, anything will do. can we just watch you guys, you know, putting the engine together, just anything, getting lunch, whatever you want, but like, just please, can we just get some content? So your top three for this coming season. What's your predictions?
My top three in terms of...
Yeah, because we know your 2021s. Not that you'll be right, but...
Well, no, because so my 2021 was driver. It wasn't actually where they finished. It just who would be in which team. But
that's true, actually.
I think I'm saying Max. I think the Red Bull looked really, really... As much as it didn't look quite as blisteringly fast as the Mercedes, according to a lot of the... You know those channels I said who really, really know their stuff? That Red Bull looks the most planted of all the cars. And I think Max, I think now's his best opportunity to win the driver's title. So I think I'm still going to say Max will edge Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, because part of the reason, actually, something that I haven't heard many people mention, but I definitely think is a thing. I think Valtteri is sick of playing second fiddle, and I don't think he's going to be as good of a teammate as he has been previously. I think
he's been making lots of noises, hasn't he?
Yeah,
exactly. And he did a bit last season, obviously, with the Valtteri 2.0, all that nonsense, and that kind of slowly fell away. But I don't think he's going to be as just as hospitable to Lewis.
He will go rogue. I can feel that.
Exactly. And whereas Max has got a teammate in Alex, who I think is really, you know, talented, and I think he's got a lot to prove, but I don't think he's very much, but I think more prepared to play second fiddle and be a really kind of good teammate to Max to get them, because Red Bull were they're desperate more than any other team, like including Ferrari, desperate to win another driver's title, because Christian Horner, man, is a terrible loser. And he can see how fuming he is and drives to survive about not getting that title. So I think that's
so good.
They've said a lot about they want Max to be, you know, the youngest world drivers' title champion as well.
It's another title as well. He's got a boulevard in his factory back in Milton Keynes that's been empty for about 7 years almost. So
exactly.
Yeah, my God, you know what? Like actually, on Drive to Survive, some of the houses I've seen there. Like they had, obviously, you saw Christian Horner's land. Mm. Then they had is it Adrian Newey's? One time, Sky showed his house when they was walking around his place. Like, I need. Why didn't my parents get me into racing? I'm you know, too much on the football. I'll tell you, like, honestly.
You can build a chassis as good as Adrian Newey, Dre. You can have a house.
Oh, you will.
That's it. Challenge accepted. We ain't got nothing else to do. There's going to be papers all around my house, just, you know, drawings. I mean, I personally think that I think a Ferrari's got something, and there's something between, because there's two rival drivers who, you know, literally, I don't even know if they like each other. I think there's a healthy respect / disrespect between them two, and I just think they push each other to another level. So I think personally that I'm looking at those guys, but I'd love a new. I'd like there to be something, you know, a new challenger that goes all the way, rather than it just being like a procession, you know. But
because typically, like Red Bull have pretty poor starts to the season, and I think that's always been their kind of Achilles heel. They've always come on well at the end, and yeah, again, like I just feel like this is their best shot. I think it. You know, part of it is because I do want a different title winner. I mean, the thing is, I want Lewis.
A refresh.
What I think Max will win this year, and I think when the new regs come in, because I think Lewis will 100% stay around to the new regs, because I think he'll be like interested to see how it pans out, and he'll want to be a driver who's won titles across, you know. And I think he's got a great chance. Like this, he definitely will win another one. I've got zero doubt about that. But I just think this could be Max's time to shine.
I really hope it is. If I'm honest, I still feel like Lewis is going to come in first. I just think the domination that they've got, because Max, I still think Max is a really, really mature driver, but I don't think he's got the racecraft that Lewis has got yet. It's coming. I just feel like there's a couple of bits that he needs to pick up on. But what teasers have you got coming up? Any new videos or concepts coming soon on the channel? Or?
Yeah, so I filmed another podcast today with let's just say the third of the Musketeers that I've had on, which is good. Like a great little kind of cop for that. So I'm going to be looking for more guests going forward for sure. And I've got kind of, I'll try and kind of get my videos planned ahead. So there's a lot around kind of sponsors and talking to, kind of delving a little bit into the history as well of sponsors and their kind of progression through Red Bull being a prime example. So yeah, I have a little kind of notes app on my phone that I just kind of note stuff down whenever I think of a kind of decent idea. I want to bring more design content as well, because my job's kind of a digital designer, so I know my way around Photoshop quite well. And I did a video on, you know, redesigning the AlphaTauri, which I think's an awful.
Mate, that was controversial. I think yours look a lot better than theirs. I must say.
I thought I did a good job, but
I was
embarrassed having this background now with my Comic Sans now. So.
It's all right, man. I won't dig you out.
You could have put some of that on the livery as well. You could have done that
too. Took a lot of effort to find a HD photo, you know.
So before I mess it up again, tell your fans where they can actually find you on your various different social media platforms.
Yeah, so TomoF1 on YouTube.
You had to do that again, didn't he?
Front and four, not F1 Tomo. I might still pop up if you put that in, but basically the pink. So if you see pink Formula One, that's me.
Yeah.
So give that a... I'm also quite active on Twitter. That's TomMcCluskey_. You can see... you might be able to see in the edit how my name's spelt, because everyone gets that wrong. But yeah, that's me on Twitter. That's pretty much where I'm active most of the time. Give those a follow, and yeah, I've very much enjoyed myself, lads. Appreciate having me. And
no, thank you so much for joining us. We know you've got a busy schedule and you're killing it with the content, you know. And we'll look forward to getting you on again some other time. We've got lots of new stuff coming. Obviously, you know, when things get going, we're going to have drivers to be able to feature on our podcast with our merry band, and also we're going to be talking things like fashion, F1 fashion. I'm heavily into that, as you can see. Different kit every week. Yeah, I just really, yeah, just keep on sending it to me, people, and I will wear it. Yeah,
maybe brand not whore.
Actually, maybe not Racing Point stuff, but yeah, by that. Yeah.
Martin stuff when that comes out, though. I'm all for that.
Are you gonna wear? I'll leave that one to you. my media training just came into my head there. Don't say that. So we've got lots of things coming up, and thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you joining us, and keep on killing it and making the amazing content you are, and we'll be looking forward to getting you to join us again.
Cheers, lads, been a pleasure.
Appreciate you guys. Check out our interview with Tomo on www.vergemagazine.co.uk. Got there in the end. And check us out on our new Instagram, which we are working on at the moment. F1 Alternative on Instagram, and then obviously Verge Magazine on Twitter. Guys, appreciate you. Stay safe.
Congratulations,
Bernie.
Wash
your hands. Keep your hands washed. Please stay indoors, and all those other things they tell us to do. Peace.
Yeah.